Psalm 22. To the choir master, according to the doe of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you'll remain standing for a moment, we're going to read a passage of Scripture from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We're going to begin at verse 30 in chapter 11 and read down to verse 10 in chapter 12. This is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, beginning at verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Ardius was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that none may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is so penetrating because it is written by those inspired by your Spirit who are still writing. Paul is writing as Paul. Yet by the working of your Spirit, he writes what you wanted written. Perfect in every way, preserved by your gracious providence for these many centuries to come to us here, this day, in this place, in our own time. For you are speaking to your people always through your word. You are addressing us and telling us about yourself, about what it means to be Christ's, how to live in this world. We pray, our God, that you graciously, knowing us, knowing each circumstance of each person here, young or old, might work in their lives, that you would be glorified and that your Spirit might have free reign in our hearts. We would submit ourselves to you and ask that you will do what pleases you to your glory and our good in Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. I don't know DC Comics nowadays. I don't know Marvel Comics for that matter. When I was growing up, there was only DC, you know, Batman, Superman, Justice League of America, that stuff. And sometimes on the back of the comic would be a little drawing by Charles Atlas Company. Charles Atlas was a company that was selling weight training equipment. I never ordered it, so I don't know what they had, but the cartoon they always had was of this skinny 97-pound weakling. They actually told you how much he weighed. 97-pound weakling. And he was on the beach with his girlfriend, and a guy who was muscle-bound came up and kicked sand in his face. And the lesson was, you get Charles Atlas weight training stuff, and you can go back and kick sand in the bully's face. Now, for a skinny 10-year-old kid like me, this was good news that I wouldn't always be weak. Well, we won't talk about today, but I knew at that moment that it was a bad thing to be weak. And yet that's what we are, isn't it? We're all weak in some way. It may not be visible. It may be inside. But Paul says something which seems so contradictory, weak and strong. It's like being healthy and sick. How can you be healthy and sick at the same time? How can you be awake and asleep at the same time? There's that kind of in-between stage, but really either you're awake or you're asleep. Paul's weak, and he doesn't mind confessing it. We have a harder time, don't we, confessing our weakness. It may show up in our lives, in relationships, and we just can't keep that marriage going because our spouse is just too hard to get along with. And we just feel too weak to try and manage that relationship. It may be that when you give an answer in class and the teacher says, wrong, and the class laughs at you, you feel weak. You may be weak because you had a parent who abused you. And that slap of the hand, or that constantly being told that you're stupid, has stayed with you all your life long. Or you go to work, and the boss gives you a job, and you've got no clue how to do this job. And everybody looks at you. And that's the worst thing, isn't it? When you feel like your weakness is on display, and everybody stares at you. And you feel that shame that comes with weakness. J.I. Packer, when he talked about this, and he actually wrote a little booklet about this, because he was a man who had physical weaknesses, lots of physical weaknesses. He says weakness is a feeling of being inadequate, that you just can't get the job done. Joni and I have been negotiating weakness for the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, when we have the weaknesses of our bodies. And those weaknesses don't go away. And you're wearing glasses and got a hearing aid, not coming yet, but a hearing aid. And you wake up in the morning and your joints are sore and you feel the weakness that's coming because your body is breaking down. And young people, you hear this from your parents. It's going to happen to you too. That's the way it is. Paul says that he's got a thorn in the flesh, and he doesn't define what it is, so we're left to speculate, and we could speculate about it all day long. To get a good grasp of what Paul talks about in verses 9 and 10 that we really want to focus on, you have to remember Paul's coming to Corinth. He came to Corinth after having left Philippi and the Thessalonica, and he was persecuted in both places. And he came to Corinth, and there was a riot there, and he faced that. Paul also faced a church that was so diverse that you wonder, how does this church hold together? If you go back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, or chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verses 9, 10, and 11, you see that laundry list of people. Remember how he says, and once were some of you were washed, you were cleansed, and so forth? Because he says, you had all those things in your life, and now in Jesus Christ, you're different. Paul in Corinth faced many, many difficulties. And one of the things that comes out in 2 Corinthians is the fact that there are opponents that Paul has. And there's a subtle undercurrent that you read that runs through the book. For instance, chapter 5, verse 12, Paul talks about those who boast in outward appearances, boast in outward appearances. And then chapter 6, verse 8, where he says that Paul and he and his companions were treated like imposters by those who claimed to be something. And then in chapter 10, verse 10, he said, these opponents say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. Or as the King James would put it, his speech is contemptible. Here's Paul who comes to preach the gospel, and his speech is contemptible, to be despised in the eyes of some. And you can see how Paul feels that weakness is on display and that shame is public His vulnerability is seen there. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. That idea of weak is to be without strength. And maybe you've had times in your life when you've been without strength spiritually or physically. I had shoulder surgery a few years ago, and the doctor put a nerve block in there. And after the surgery, I looked at my arm, and I wanted to scratch my nose, and my arm wouldn't work. It forgot how to work. I could look at it all day long, but the nerve block kept it from working. That's the kind of idea Paul has got here. You're without strength. And you're without strength in critical times sometimes. You're in a discussion with your parents about something, and you want them to listen to you. And all you can think of is, I'm going to yell at them. And you know that's not right. So you don't do it, and you feel weak. Oh, you're at work. And the people around you have little cliques, and they're all talking to each other on breaks, and there's nobody that you can talk to. You feel weak. You feel left out. You feel without strength. Paul talks about weakness 11 times, just in chapters 11 to 13. Now, we don't know much about Paul. The church tradition has it that he wasn't very tall. Also, there's the idea that perhaps Paul had an eye problem, maybe resulting from his vision of Christ on the road to Damascus. We don't know. But he had to go through all kinds of trials. He says in chapter 1, verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." You talk about weakness. He thought he was going to die because all the things that were happening to him. And then in chapter 6, he says, "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger." Then in chapter 7, we're afflicted at every turn. And here, in chapter 12, he talks about these things at the very end of verse 10. Weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And that word calamity is really a word that means tight, to be in a tight space, which all of us have been in tight spaces. And you can probably have tight spaces in your life, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional or relational. So Paul has given these catalogs of his suffering and his weakness. How can a weak man like Paul carry on? How can he do anything except just bemoan his weakness and feel shame for how he is? Well, in these words, Paul isn't trying to be the 97-pound weakling who will bulk up and be able to kick these bullies in Corinth in the face. Instead, he says, "I could tell you, but I won't." It's an amazing passage. He says, "I was taken up into heaven," and how we want him to tell us what it was like to be in paradise, to see the glory of God as he did. But he says, "I'm not allowed to utter a thing. I can't say anything about it." So all these revelations that he could boast in, he's not going to boast in. And so all that's on display is his weakness. And I'll even say, Satan is after me. Satan wants to destroy me. And in verse 33 of chapter 11, he says, "I was treated like a piece of baggage. I couldn't fight my way out of the city of Damascus. They let me down at night in a basket like a garbage being let down the wall. That's how weak I am. I can't do this stuff. I'm not a super apostle. I'm not manifestly strong. I'm weak. Now, when Paul talks about his weakness, of course he's got a reason. He wants to show that it's not him, but it's the power of God in him. That's why he'll say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He wants to magnify the grace of God. Because God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is something we've got to lay hold of in our Christian lives. And we have to start with our conversions. Because all of us come 100% disabled to God spiritually. We cannot save ourselves. We are without strength to save ourselves, to do anything to accomplish our own salvation. No works we do, no piety we cultivate can do anything to make us right with God. And because of that, we hear the gospel as truly good news for weak people. When Christ says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he's calling us to turn from focusing on ourselves and our weaknesses, whether physical or spiritual, and look to him and submit to him as our King and our God. This is a very hard lesson for us. I can tell you that it is a hard lesson. That we don't need relief from trials as much as we need God's grace in our trials. If you're facing some kind of testing, some kind of battle, where are you looking for strength? Are you trying to muster up that strength from within yourself so that you can face this temptation, face this conversation with someone by your own power? Is that what you're trying to do? I know this is what I have done so many times. Paul wants us to remember that the power is the power of God's Spirit, not our own power. Many years ago, as a very wet behind the ears, green and ignorant pastor in California, I was called on to counsel a couple in their marriage problems. Joni and I had been married just a few years. I went to their house. Their house was palatial. He was an airline pilot. She was an executive secretary for an oil company. They had more money probably in their wallets than I had in my bank account. I pulled my old junker of a car up next to their two really nice cars and went into this expansive living room, and I thought to myself, what can I say to these people? I'm a failure. I don't have this. So all I could do is pray and remind myself of the fact that if anything was to happen in their lives, it wasn't because I had the best words around. It was because God himself, by his Holy Spirit, would be at work. When we are weak, then we are strong. In June of 2019, Dave Pallison died, and some of you may know his name, others may not. Dave was the leader of biblical counseling in Philadelphia. a very godly and wise man. He helped the church look at the Bible for answers to all things, whether it was abuse or addictions. He said God's word will help us. But he was dying of cancer. And as most people do, he was fighting that cancer, but he was losing the battle. He had been scheduled to address the graduating class at my seminary in Philadelphia. He had no strength to do it because he died within just a couple weeks of that commencement. So he videotaped his speech, and this is what he said in part. He was talking about Romans 8, verse 26, where Paul writes, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness." Then he said, "It does not say weaknesses, as if there is a finite list of sins, A, B, and C, and sufferings, X, Y, and Z, in your life. Weakness, singular, is a comprehensive description of our human condition. We are perishable. We are mortal. We face a multitude of afflictions in our lives. And we are sinful, bent from the heart towards pride, self-righteousness, fear of man, and a multitude of desires and fears that beset us. The mercies of God meet us in this comprehensive condition of weakness. My deepest hope for you is that in both in your personal life and your ministry to others, you would be unafraid to be publicly weak as the doorway to the strength of God Himself." Here was a dying man talking directly about weakness. Paul, as he approaches the Corinthians in this second letter, has a church that has a mess on its hands. One man is sleeping with his stepmother, something Paul says even the pagans don't do. Other people are coming to the Lord's table drunk. They're eating up all the food before the table is set. Others are arguing with each other, saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas." How is Paul going to face that? What do we do when we face terrible things in our lives, terrible displays of our weakness? For the many months that I was in the hospital and in rehabilitation, there were times when I could not put a prayer together. All I could say is, "Oh God, have mercy on me." Because weakness isn't just physical. It's our inadequacy before God. The inability that we have to live the way that God calls us to live if we forget that our strength comes from Christ. Our weakness is part of our fallenness in this world. The only way for us to turn from our weakness is to turn from our self-centeredness, our self-focus, our trust in ourselves. Christ came to deliver us from weakness. Spiritually, He binds us to Himself. If you will think of that, brothers and sisters, in your weakness, the mighty Savior, the very Son of God, has taken you to Himself. And He who has all strength will give you strength in your weakness. This is why Paul is not afraid to say, as he does to the Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." how can we face Satan, the fallenness of the world, our own weakness, but by Christ? When you decide that you're strong and you can overcome some particular sin by your own power, you will fall. You will fail. When you think you can repair a relationship without turning to God, without turning to His Word, without begging Him to work through you, give you love for the other person, you will only batter that relationship more. In our weakness, we must turn to Christ alone. How can I respond in the situations where I feel weak? I only can turn to the power that God gives. In those months in rehabilitation, confined to a bed, to keep from going crazy or despairing, God had to hold me, and He did. Paul says, my power, this is what God's answer is, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Three things. Remember that you can't be ashamed of being weak. It's what you are as long as you are in this world. It's your human condition. The brokenness that characterizes the world and ourselves is our condition. And we repent of our sinful weaknesses, those weaknesses which are the weaknesses of our minds and our flesh, and recognize that the weaknesses of our bodies and the struggles we have spiritually are part of being in this world as we cry out to God. Secondly, see this as God's provision so that you can trust Him more. It is a good thing to be weak because I have no other place to go. Whether your weakness is physical or spiritual or in your battle with sin, it is the opportunity to become even more dependent on Jesus Christ. Do not boast in your own power, but in God's. Thirdly, acknowledge your weakness that you might let others know that Christ is sufficient. Too often, Christians seem to put on a front that we've got our act together when we don't. That we need Christ desperately. Not just to save us, but we need Him every single day to deliver us from ourselves. Paul Tripp, another Christian counselor, says that we by nature, by our sinful nature, tend to be glory stealers. We tend to steal glory from God that should go to God. And sometimes in our weaknesses, we do that because we want to make ourselves appear stronger than we are. That 97-pound weakling who had sand kicked in his face may be you. It may be what you're experiencing, young or old. You may be facing sins that you've faced your entire life, that you face when you're 17 and when you're 70. But you know what? Jesus Christ is sufficient. And that's what you want to boast in. Boast in Him. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we pray that You, by Your Holy Spirit, knowing us in our weakness, for Your own glory, would make us strong in Christ. Make us find increasingly joy in His sufficiency. He is our true and only God. strength, and hope. And we thank you that he is glorious in his power. That the prince of darkness does not need to make us tremble. For our king is almighty. Help us, Lord God, to trust in you, even in the midst of our weakness, that you may be glorified. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.